my friends, a bigger shift that's been happening in the last week is Venus. It has moved into Capricorn. Anybody have Venus in Capricorn here? I am a Venus in Capricorn native, if you can't tell. No, I mean. So it's so funny. My first astrology teacher, he was the first one to really like inspire me to study my own chart, and we would like use my chart a lot as like our teaching reference. And my chart, as some of you may know, has a lot of water placements. And my astrology teacher would be like, "Thank God you have Venus in Capricorn." He'd be like, "Thank God you have Venus in Capricorn to ground you." And I was like, "You know what? You're so right, Dave." And ever since then, I've started looking at my Venus in Capricorn in sort of a really thankful light. Like, it's one of my favorite parts of my own chart. And what's even funnier, okay, for the astrology students out there, my Venus being in Capricorn, it's actually almost exactly conjunct the descendant. And the descendant is the part of the chart that is sort of in the seventh house. It's exactly opposite of your ascendant. And if your ascendant is you and yourself and your path and your dharma, the descendant is other people who come into your life, right? So Venus in Capricorn being so close to my descendant, I actually attract a lot of Capricornian people. Like, there's been a few of my classes that have been like very heavily like sprinkled with Capricorn students or people with Capricorn placements. And even more specifically, guys, like I meet so many Venus and Capricorns, not even like even to the point where their Venus is at the exact same degree as mine. And I think that's just such a cool signification of having Venus and Capricorn conjunct the descendant. It comes in almost literally. But I've been sitting with this energy my whole life, right? And I'm thinking, for me, the wisdom of Venus in Capricorn is, well, let's start here. Who is Venus? Venus is a planet that teaches us a little bit about what we might value. Venus teaches us about our ethics in some way and our morals. And Venus, in a lot of ways, in teaching us what we do or do not value in a situation, in other people, in ourselves, in our life, in teaching us what we value. Venus sort of takes us on a journey of peeling back where we learned what to value, right? And this is something I feel like we talk about a lot on Witch Church, like this idea of we've been taught a certain set of values and we've been taught a certain way to view success or to view our own worth. And what Venus does, I guess, in our charts, but also by transit, is they show us maybe where our conditioning and our values have actually not been meeting up. Like, because it is possible to be conditioned to value something. To be conditioned to think like, oh, I need to have this big wedding, or I need to buy this big house, or I need to be in a certain place by 30 or 40 or 50. But at the same time, what Venus reveals to us is this question, is this really what you want? And is this really something that brings harmony to you, right? And to your life. So in a way, Venus is one of the biggest, I guess, points of deconditioning in our charts, because it speaks to what we've been taught to value and also how we might unlearn those things and really learn what it is that we desire, apart from some of these stories, right? So when Venus is in Capricorn, I think there's a certain, there's like, like Venus is at her most, maybe not her most, I think she's most simplistic in Virgo, but she's in one of her more simplistic expressions, meaning that Venus in Capricorn isn't necessarily wearing like a bunch of sparkly jewels and, you know, throwing these big parties or whatever. But when we come to ask, what does Venus in Capricorn value? I think Venus in Capricorn values the stability of our foundation and what that looks like. And I think that's something that we might be particularly thinking about just even in this time of year as we sort of, maybe some of us are fighting the sort of Gregorian calendar. January has to be the time when we're like setting goals and, you know, whatever. And maybe some of us are kind of leaning into it. I'm sort of neutral in the sense that I do feel like because Venus is in Capricorn right now as we finish up January, and also as we enter into this Pluto in Aquarius era, there's something that Venus in Capricorn is asking us to probe at. I think about our, like, it's almost like the choices that make up our foundation. Are you guys picking up what I'm putting down? Like, I've been thinking a lot, actually, about the choices that I make on a daily basis that sort of add up to something greater. And what's even kind of more ironic is this week in my tarot class, the tarot meetup I do in Chicago, the Lovers came up. And it's a card that, like, I don't often get, or, like, there's just something where, like, when I pull it, I'm kind of surprised. I'm like, oh, the Lovers is here. But it makes sense. It makes sense for this week ahead. As we move through Venus in Capricorn, and as Venus makes certain aspects to other planets, which we'll talk about in a second, I think this is a really deeply meaningful time to maybe think about the choices that we're making, even on like a microscopic level, like even the unconscious choices like that we may be making that need to be brought into consciousness. There's something about this time that feels meaningful when it's relating to the choices that we're making, and maybe even the bigger choices that we'll be probed to make, let's say, sometime end of April and then also an end of May. There's really two very big astrological transits that are happening in late spring. And I'm wondering if those late spring shifts have to do with bigger choices and what we're being asked to do now during this Venus in Capricorn transit as we prepare to make bigger choices in the spring, what are we doing with our sort of daily set of choices? And I guess, you know, it's funny, I was reviewing my, with the lovers being polled, I was reviewing my 78 Degrees of Wisdom by Rachel Pollack, classic tarot textbook. I do recommend this book for, yeah, if you're kind of more interested in the academic side of the tarot. Somehow I was able to get this book, just the part one, the major arcana, which I think is the best part of this book, because I think sometimes the explanation of the minor arcana is a little iffy for me. It's a little bit too, it's a little bit too old school for me, right? Like, you guys know I like to interpret the tarot in a little bit more of a modernized psychological self-healing kind of way versus like a predictive way. And I find the way Rachel Pollack views the minor arcana as a little bit more of that predictive lens, which isn't always good when we're trying to use tarot for like trauma healing and such things, right? But anyways, I was sort of reviewing like, what is the sort of academic Rachel Pollack textbook lovers, like what is she saying about the lovers? And I was reminded that the original lovers card was actually three different people, and it was basically, hang on, I'll show you guys who are watching this live, but if you're not watching this live and you're listening to it on my podcast, you can always Google like the Marseille tarot, I think will be the lovers. But like, if you look at this older version of the lovers, there's actually like one dude and he's making the choice between like two women, I guess. And it's sort of implied that one of the women is like very noble, but perhaps kind of boring. And the other woman is a little bit more like mysterious and witchy and maybe less of the societally acceptable choice, yet kind of more sexually tempting, or like has a bit more like of the desire kind of feeling, right? So I think that's where this idea with the lovers comes in, about the lovers being a choice, right? And I do think sometimes the lovers, I mean, right now it's very much reading to me as the choice definition. On the other side of the coin, I think the lovers can also be about the mirror archetype and what others mirror back to us about ourselves, you know? It's the age-old, like, why can't I change them? And then, you know, that feeling of why can't I change them? It's like mirroring something back to ourselves about what we may need to change about our own, like, our own self, right? So, but I guess that version of the lovers isn't clicking right now. It's not to say it can't click for you, but there's something greater, I think, right now going on with Venus in Capricorn, and this idea that the lovers brings us maybe to some sort of conscious awareness of perhaps why we're making the choices we're making, and how the smaller choices add up to how we maybe make bigger choices. Specifically, I'm predicting that a lot of us will be making some maybe bigger choices in the spring, during the Venus-Uranus, or sorry, the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which will be in Taurus and ruled by Venus, right? So, you know, I'm thinking, according to Rachel Pollack, this is the point, the Lovers is the point in the Fool's journey where the Fool is getting ready to leave home, right? He's learned a lot of stuff. He's learned, like, about his intuition from the High Priestess. He's learned about his free will from the Magician. He's learned about his conditioning from the Hierophant. But now the Fool ends up in the Lovers. And there's something here where the Fool has to make a choice between what he's been taught and his desire to leave the nest, which then leads him to card number 7, which is the Chariot, right? So keep in mind that the Lovers comes before the Chariot, and that is significant. But I think there's some kind of choice here that we're making between, it's like, yeah, it's between how we've been conditioned to even make choices. That's an interesting thought. Like, it's not even like what we've been conditioned to think about life, but also what have you been taught when it comes to how to make a choice? Most of us, I will say, have probably been conditioned to make a choice from a place of scarcity or fear or lack. Like, we've been taught to look at the negative side of things or the more conservative side of things and make the choice through that lens. I think most of the time, that's probably the conditioning that we've come from. And it's so funny. You guys know I love some reality TV, and recently I've been getting into Southern Charm, which is truly atrocious. Like, it truly atrocious show. And whatever, there was like this one guy, if you watch it, I'm only on like season one, but there's this one guy named Thomas, and he's trying to like make a choice of whether or not he's gonna continue to date this girl, Catherine, right? And Thomas is talking to his pastor, and his pastor was like, well, when in doubt, don't do it. That's literally what his pastor told him. And I was watching this yesterday, and like, I've been thinking about this choice message, like, in the past couple days, like, in preparation for, you know, chatting with you guys for Witch Church. But it was so funny that that came through, this pastor being like, if you're in doubt, don't do it. And I was like, do I agree with that? Like, I actually think if I didn't do it, it being a whole cornucopia of things, like, if I didn't do it when I was in doubt, maybe I would have ended up not growing or not evolving, right? And that even got me thinking of, like, well, what kind of doubt is it? And how much do you really have to lose? Because I think if you're in doubt about, like, a massive choice, like buying a house or getting married or, like, you know, something like that, like, then I'm like, okay, yeah, if you're in doubt about that, like, don't do it. But if you're in doubt about, like, oh my God, like, I'm doubting if I should even go to this dance class tonight, I've never been and I'm scared, why wouldn't you do that? Like, you know, like, there's why wouldn't you just push yourself to experience the new thing if the cost or the risk is so little? Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to not like the class and never go again? Like, fine. Like, you know, so that could be something that is coming through around this time, not only on a greater scale, but like a microscopic level too. Where are we siding with doubt? And is that actually the best choice? And you guys, I know Thomas is so gross. I am starting from the beginning. I just got to season 2, episode 1. So, we'll see what happens. And I didn't realize that Southern Charm has 3 branches. So I'm watching the Charleston branch right now, but, apparently there's like Savannah and I think New Orleans maybe. So I don't know if I'll get into those. I've got a lot of, you know, reality TV on my docket. Like, we'll see what happens. But Amy, you said usually the things we are most afraid to do are exactly the things we need to do. That is so true. I can't even explain to you how many times there's been a bigger choice that I have like just extreme anxiety over, like maybe the week before it's gonna happen. And I'm like, oh my God, I shouldn't do it. Oh my God. And then like I do it and I'm like, oh my God, that was the right choice. Obviously, the ego is trying to keep us in a place of doubt or a place of fear. Because the ego or the monkey mind isn't really concerned with change. It's concerned with keeping us alive and safe. And you know, it's hard to know, like, when do I listen to that and when do I not? Emmy, you said, I doubt every decision I make. So yeah, I'd never get anything done. And Horner, darling, you said sometimes our doubt is really our own fear holding us back. Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I think when it comes to some of the bigger decisions that might be on our plate coming this spring, Lauren, you said you might be moving into a new apartment this spring. I don't know what are the choices I'll be making in the spring, but right now I think I'm still settling into one of the more profound messages I felt I got from my guides at the beginning of 2024, which was pay attention to the day-to-day choices that you're making, or, you know, every week sit down and like kind of envision the weekly goals or the daily goals. And I just got this really strong message that the daily and the weekly goals are actually more important this year than like the whole year ahead vision. And that could be because there's, you know, sometimes we can't completely vision something when it's such a Jupiterian heavy year, meaning Jupiter is going to conjunct Uranus, the planet of change. Jupiter is going to change signs. He's going to go into Gemini. I feel like Jupiter, there is an aspect of abundance and expansion, and you can't always predict how things are going to expand and grow. It's sort of like doing an experiment in science class and you like add this ingredient, and sometimes an ingredient makes the whole thing blow up, right? And that's kind of Jupiter Uranus. Like, sometimes we can't predict the rate or the we can't predict the rate of the expansion, but what we can control is our day-to-day choices. And an example of this too is in 2023, I really got away from not necessarily the daily tarot pull, but I felt like I was not doing it completely intentionally. Like, I was just pulling the card, and I was like, okay, this is the card, and by, like, lunchtime every day, I'd almost forget what card I pulled for the day, because it was sort of unintentional. So one of the micro choices, or the smaller choices I'm making in my day-to-day, is bringing more intention to my tarot pull. So I'm back to, like, journaling about my daily tarot pull, and I'm back to sitting down on Sunday and even doing my week ahead spread and using that to sort of create a vision for the week ahead. And, you know, Lauren, you said our minds usually ask us to contract right before a big experience. So I usually recommend just giving it a little space instead of saying no. Yeah. Yep. It's so true. What are the daily choices right now that are important? How could you choose to experience or get out of your comfort zone, or maybe go towards your desires on a smaller experimental level? Like, what do those choices look like? And how can we use the levers to sort of prompt us about our willingness to choose something new, or just even begin a new behavior? Or for me, it's like really revisiting an old behavior. I used to be so, in the beginning of my tarot journey, I would be, you know, really keeping track of a lot of tarot pulls and doing it super intentionally. And now I'm kind of revisiting that mode. Emmy, you said, same, I left more room in my journal for daily tarot pulls this year. I pulled daily cards last year, but I didn't write about them. Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing, and I wasn't getting as much out of my tarot practice as I am now. Like, I feel like in the past couple weeks, I've gotten more out of my tarot practice just by, like, dedicating a new journal to the daily pulls. And it's like those little choices that matter right now. And I think this does relate to going back to Venus and Capricorn. Right now, Venus is talking to both Jupiter and Saturn. Why is this? Well, on multiple levels. Venus is in Capricorn. She's making a trine to Jupiter. In Taurus, what does that mean in English? Well, a trine is an aspect that kind of represents a sort of high five, you know, a positive relationship between the planets. So Venus is having like a positive conversation with Jupiter. She's saying, what do I need to do in Capricorn that has to do with my daily or weekly foundational choices? What do I have to do now to help you, Jupiter, expand a little bit later in the spring? Like, how can I help you? She's having that conversation with Jupiter this week. Venus is also having an interesting conversation with Saturn. Saturn and Venus have reception right now. Why is that? Well, Venus is in Capricorn. That's Saturn's favorite sign. Saturn is in Pisces. That's one of Venus's favorite signs. Okay, so Saturn and Venus are really getting along. And Saturn has to do with our long-term vision. Now, in Pisces, it's a little bit wonky, right? Like, Saturn's like, ooh, I can dream about the long-term vision, but how do I make it? There's a real moment of grounding right now when it comes to just the necessary steps or choices that we're making in order to go towards something that, yeah, I mean, there could be some doubt, there could be some fear, but also deep down, our desires are pointing us towards that. And yeah, what can we do on this very microscopic level to lead us there? Yeah, so Venus is trying to Jupiter, sextile to Saturn. Venus is in a really good position this week for reestablishing our commitments to ourselves, reestablishing some sort of daily self-care ritual, going back to the lovers and this being about choice. I mean, like, guys, these choices could be so simple, like the choice to go to bed early, right? Like the choice to value our sleep in 2024. The choice for me, like a couple choices I've made in the past week, like I rebooted my gym membership because I've been away from climbing for a while and like I want to get back into that. I'm losing my muscle. Need to like make the choice to go and like go climb and go like lift some weights, and like that's something I value. I value feeling strong. I value feeling like I am not a limp noodle. And also when I'm strong, I'm a better intuitive. I'm a better psychic because I'm more grounded. And my best, like, feelings of how the energy is going to play out actually come from the feeling of me being grounded and not necessarily the feeling of me floating away into the astral realm. Yeah, like, there's just something there where I'm like, okay, no, like, me getting stronger or me feeling strong is a daily choice that affects more than just how my, like, arms look. Even though, like, I want my arms to look good, like, you know, there's something there about that daily choice being important. On the other hand, too, one more important message for this week that has to do with the lovers making choices and also Venus in Capricorn being this really good energy for, yeah, like resetting. Yeah, like resetting our daily rituals. I'm also thinking about how during the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in the spring, you know, there's this like powerful wave of connection there. Like there's this powerful wave of like networking and being seen and known for our gifts and talents. But in order to have like a greater effect of like our message or our project or our book or whatever being seen by others, I think we have to connect with others on an individual level. And I'm wondering if this week, is there someone that you've been meaning to connect with just on an individual level that might be like more connected later to something bigger that might be coming in during the spring? Like, let's say during the spring, you might be wanting to like buy a house or something. Like, maybe your good friend is a realtor in your area. Like, go get coffee with them this week. Like, make that individual connection now. For me, like, I'm thinking a lot about, like, how I'm going to write my book, how I'm going to write my tarot book, and I'm constantly seeing, like, people that I know, like, people I've had on my podcast, like coming out with all these books. And I'm like, okay, how are you guys coming out with these books? Like I, like I need to connect with some of you in order to figure this out for myself. That's something I'm doing, you know, in the next couple weeks. Maybe some of you have been wanting to start your newsletter. You follow 10 different Substack newsletters. Why can't you have one, right? And who are you going to connect with about that? There's some important individual connections that we're making that add up to something bigger later. Okay. Interesting week to think about. What choices am I making? Why am I making these choices? Also, how have I been conditioned to even make choices in the first place? Is doubt maybe influencing how I'm making choices in my day-to-day life? Yeah. Venus in Capricorn, very positive influence this week, though. Especially with the trine to Jupiter and sextile to Saturn. Like, we have both the planet of foundations and the planet of expansion on our side, or at least Venus has those planets on her side. And remember, like both of those planets are circling back to Venus. Like, they're looking to Venus and saying, what is my next move? Because Venus rules over those two planets right now. Like, Jupiter being in Taurus, what planet rules Taurus? Venus. Saturn being in Pisces, what planet rules Pisces? Jupiter. And Jupiter is answering right now to Venus, right? So both Jupiter and Saturn are answering to Venus in a lot of ways this week. So it's positive. It's a positive week for making a little bit of progress, at least with our connections and our analysis with what we're doing with our energy on the day-to-day and a weekly basis. I like it, guys. I like it, my friends. Well, you tell me. I've got a little time to do some week ahead polls. What do we got, my friends? How can I help you and be of service to you today? Remember that I still have my year ahead readings up. If you'd like to step into my office for more personalized year ahead reading, I'll probably have those up until like around Valentine's Day. So, you know, we're nearing the end of the year ahead reading. Also, can I ask you guys if you've gotten a year ahead reading with me? If you have any like little reviews or positive words of affirmation that you'd feel comfortable DMing me or emailing me, I would love some little like mini reviews that I can use for the last stretch of my my like year ahead marketing kind of stuff. And so if you have any of that, if you have the energy to write me a little blurb, please feel free to DM me or email it to me. I'm super appreciative of that. And yeah, I've just been overall, it's just such a good moment in time, appreciate. Like, now I've been having some of you guys come back for like 4 years now, because that's pretty much how long I've been practicing astrology. And like, yeah, just having the gift of seeing people like every single year, like at least once a year or even more, and being able to witness your growth, and it's been warming my heart, you know. Thanks for trusting me, you guys, with your year ahead stuff. Corner Darling, you said, I'd love a card for the week ahead. Yeah. Let's see here. Okay, Three of Cups in reverse. When I was shuffling too, Horner Darling, I was hearing something where it was sort of like, it's not that complicated. It's more simple than you're realizing. So for me, when I see Three of Cups in reverse, I almost think of, like, is it bringing you joy or is it not? And, like, yeah, do we live in a society where sometimes we have to do things that don't bring us joy? Sure. But that's why it's important when we do have the choice of, like, who we're hanging out with and what activities we're doing and blah, 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 blah. Like, that's why it's important to really center in on the things that we do have control over and make those choices in this tone of, like, does this person bring me joy? Does this connection bring me joy? Does this activity bring me joy? If yes, why am I not doing that activity? If no, why am I doing that activity? So there's a lot of, maybe in the tone of how we're making choices, for you, Horner darling, it's kind of like, what choices are leading me to joy and excitement, and what choices are leading me to burnout or whatever, you know? Corey said, I'd love a guidance card for Venus, for making Venus and Capricorn choices. Okay. Page of Cups, but he came out in reverse. So this makes me feel like, if the Page of Cups is sometimes like a part of our inner child, I think the Page of Cups in reverse sometimes feels like, I want to say, like, a little bit of anxious attachment. Like, this sort of, like, will I be received positively? Will I be loved? Will I be welcomed with open arms? Like, there's a little bit of this wound there, childhood wound, with the Page of Cups about being received in a loving way. And I wonder what choices you would be making if that part wasn't so in the driver's seat, you know, about, like, oh my God, like, what are people gonna think? Or, like, are they gonna love it? Or are they gonna love me? Like, what choices would you be making if that part was kind of being more validated by you, and you were like, all right, dude, like, I love you. I love what we're making. Let's just do it. You know, like, I feel like that part is sort of asking for your attention. And once that part has your attention, I think your choices will become more clear, because they might be coming from a place of you. Katie, you said, I would love a card for guidance for the week ahead. Yeah, let's see. Ooh, nice. The Star. So there's some renewal this week, Katie. Like, I think this sounds cheesy, but it's like a fresh start energy. It's like a purification energy. How can you start this week off just with, like, something like an optimistic mantra? Even the mantra of, things are gonna go my way, or things are going my way, or my interactions will be positive and fruitful, or, like, whatever it is. I think there's some more negative fear-based narratives that sometimes take over the way we are perceiving things happening and perceiving other people. And I think there could be a little bit more of an optimistic perception that's coming through this week. Laura, you said, I'd love a poll on how to move forward in my housing and relationship situation. Yeah. Let's see here. Four of Swords. This makes me feel like the decision isn't entirely ready to be made yet. And it also makes me feel like, I know you moved out of your apartment, so maybe you don't have a lease right now. And I don't know if you're just living with a friend or living with your partner or something for the time being while you decide what to do. Or, like, there's something here about, maybe there's not as much of a rush as you think there is. And it might benefit you to even take like 1 week off from making the decision. Sometimes that really helps, like to be like, okay, all I do is ruminate on making this decision, or like, what would it be like to just not even focus on that this week, focus on other things and come back to that decision in 2 weeks or in a month or in a, yeah, you know. And I don't know how much time you have, because I know you live in New York City and I'm sure the housing stuff is like uber stressful there. But even at the same time too, I feel like because it's so stressful, usually housing stuff happens very quickly. And even like the day of in New York, like you visit an apartment, you sign the lease. So is there really that much thinking about in order, like, is there that much rumination to be done? Or can you just chill out for a little while until you feel more sure? Noelle, you said, I would love a card for the week ahead, trying out some new limit living dynamics this week. Yeah. Nine of Swords. So I'm wondering if, I think, well, one thing I can say is I actually think it's good that you're trying. I like that phrasing that you use. I'm trying something out, because this is something that you've been curious or wondering about for a while. And I think it's good that you're trying out the thing and collecting the data in order to make a more informed choice for yourself. That being said, for some reason, this card is coming through as you needing to, or you prioritizing your alone time. So I wonder if there's something about this new living dynamic where you're realizing maybe in order to be in this dynamic, your roommates or your, you know, housemates really need to be aware of like how you really need that alone time. Or you might just decide that maybe living by yourself is the move for you, and that doesn't make you like any lesser than someone who really thrives in this like almost co-op dynamic, right? It's funny, one of my neighbors that I work with, she literally lives in a co-op, and like, it's like this apartment building, like 2 minutes down the road. And like everybody in the building knows each other, and they can like go into each other's houses and like, you know, I don't know, like, and they like have monthly meetings, and like they really live as a community and they like help each other. And I'm like, that's awesome. Not for me though. You know, like that's amazing because that's for you, but I don't think I would love that. So yeah, just something I just thought of. Ellis, you said, I would love a card for the week. Yeah, let's see. Hermit. Okay, yeah. Maybe protecting your solo time this week is good. If you're feeling energetically drained or just like you need to get things done or something like that, I think it would be a good week to set those boundaries with others. Like, hey, like this is a week where I'm going to focus on myself, but I'll see you next week, or let's make a plan for Saturday, but my weekdays are going to be about me. Like, there's just some permission here about taking the time you need for yourself if that feels good. And also, I think there's a greater question of like how your relationship to your alone time is changing, because maybe it's not the same as it used to be. Sometimes, you know, I was thinking about this. It's so funny. I was thinking about this with myself. Yeah, you know, I love alone time. Like, especially in the context of travel. Like, I love alone time, solo travel. And I was just thinking, there was something that kind of happened in my life like a week ago where I was thinking, like, wow, like, my codependency really, like, strips that from me in a lot of ways. Because when my codependency is activated, like, I lose that sense of loving my alone time because I'm focused on getting the other person to love me, you know? Or, and I was thinking about that, and that was like a really good realization where I was like, oh yeah, like, I think at my truest frequency, I do really value my alone time. And it's funny how sometimes relationship dynamics, sort of make us desire different things, or our desires kind of change. And maybe that's neither a good thing nor a bad thing. And certainly wanting to be with your partner isn't always motivated from a place of codependency. But I think you get what I'm saying. Like, yeah, there's something like that changing, Ellis. Sherry said, Mal, I love a card to focus on money. Yeah, let's see. Magician, yeah. I think, like, I think it feels like, you know, whether you have a side gig or a side hustle or, like, a project, this kind of does feel like something a bit more entrepreneurial. It doesn't feel like a full-time thing, but it feels to me like you're tapping into this sense of your ability to market yourself and your talents and your gifts. And also, like, the magician in general is just making things happen for yourself, using your free will to get motivated. And, like, if you don't currently like your job or the thing that's giving you your main source of income, I think the magician is very much reminding you that you have the power to change that, and you have the power to manifest something different. So just a little reminder of our free will, right? And Sam, you said, love a card for a week ahead, getting rid of sickness in the house. Yeah, I know, right? Cool, Nine of Pentacles. Love this for you, Sam. Yeah, it feels like maybe you're kind of rebirthing after the sickness and kind of feeling renewed and refreshed. And I'm wondering the ways in which prioritizing, it feels like yourself, but also your projects this week could be a really good thing. And I think doing the things this week that make you feel abundant and make you feel safe and secure in your own life is important. I think this is permission to not necessarily, like, be selfish. You know, selfish has such a bad connotation, but I think it's permission to continue to choose yourself. And I also get that that muscle is very strong within you right now. So I think in a lot of ways, spirit is just reassuring you that you're doing the right thing. Alexandra, you said, I would love a card for the week. Two of Wands. Yeah. Envisioning the next step. Envisioning the future. Dreaming of the future. The Two of Wands, it's not quite ready to cross the... He's not quite ready to cross the threshold yet, but he has the map in his hand. He's looking out into the sort of... the distance, and he knows, like, what is next. And I think this is commitment to the choice, commitment to whatever is next. So I like that for you, Alexandra. We were talking about how, when we were talking about Alexandra, we were talking about how sometimes, like, right before you're about to expand into a goal that you've been thinking about for so long, your ego is kind of like, oh, never mind, I don't want it. So this feels like you're committing again to wanting it. Yeah, cool. My friends, you guys are all so welcome. I appreciate you all. Thanks for coming to Witch Church. Happy Venus in Capricorn. It's the best time of year, in my opinion. I could be biased. But let me know what happens this week with Venus trining Jupiter, sextiling Saturn. Do you feel like this week ends up being a good time for growth and expansion and making those daily choices just a little bit differently? I'm excited. All right, friends, thanks for coming, and I'll see y'all next time.